Hey there, I'm Brian Cheatham.
And I'm David Broussard.
And we are the Cloud Whisperers.
Ooh, a blast from the past.
Just like the first or second, I think, way early.
Way early. That was back in the single digits.
Yeah, I was responsible for the effect. The effect that you're like, dude, you need to take that off right now.
Well, everybody, welcome to another episode of The Cloud Whisperers. I'm David Broussard.
And I'm Brian Cheatham. And we are
The Cloud Whisperers. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we are The Cloud Whisperers. There, we got to put the banner up there. Oh my goodness, that is great. So this is a fun episode we're going to have here. At least I hope so. It's been fun so far. Episode 47, okay? And we'll get to the title later, but episode 47, so we're
getting
still
close
climbing,
to the age.
Getting close to the age. I know it. I know it. I don't know what we're going to do then. I just have one burning question right now, Brian. What have you been up to lately?
It's burning, is it?
It's burning, yes.
So I've been on a plant-based diet. It's funny, man. I love grilling. I love meat. I love eating meat and all that. And I was always that guy that was like, you know what? I can't do it. There's no way, you know? I can't do it. Well, until I actually started trying it, and it all started when, you know, my wife and I actually started, you know, trying to get a little bit more healthy and all that. But there's a Netflix series out there called You Are What You Eat. And it's about twins that go through this study, identical twins, and they go through a study. Okay. One of them goes on a carnivore diet and the other one goes on a vegetarian diet. And they like analyze them at the end, like they check their cholesterol, they, you know, check their blood pressure and all kinds of stuff, right? So very, very cool series or whatever. And I was like, there's something to that, you know. And I've always kind of had high blood pressure and cholesterol and all that kind of stuff, so we're trying to get that under control. And you'd be surprised, man, I really, really enjoy eating a salad in the middle of the day. I just do. I mean, every day, that's what
I eat. Hang on,
sounds boring.
I enjoy eating a salad too. Now, that salad should have like grilled chicken on top of it, or better yet, spicy chicken from Chick-fil-A on top of it. Okay.
Not tofu.
Or, you know, the funny part is tofu is actually, if you think about what tofu is, right, it's a soybean curd, right? Yep. Yep. And so I liken it to essentially it's soy milk cheese. Okay. Cause I mean, that's really what cheese is spoiled milk, right?
Yep.
And you take the curds and separate out the whey. And that's essentially what
it's awful. It's awful, by the way.
I've eaten tofu in the past and
a lot of spices.
I put it in the same league as quinoa and kale. Okay. there are just few things that are more, you know, more vile and disgusting than those things. Now you can do tofu mixed with other things, like for example in miso soup or something like that, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
But you're going to try to give me a tofu burger or tofurky, I can't even say it right. but you're eating a plant-based diet, okay?
Plant-based
diet. And this is going well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I we're doing pretty good with it, you know. And we're going to, you know, like tomorrow's Valentine's Day or whatever, you know, my wife wants to have a steak, you know, so we're going to have a steak, and just every once in a while we'll do that. And we'll do grass fed steaks just to make sure we're at least trying to honor our diet. But yeah, you know, we've been doing real good with it, and I've lost a bunch of weight, you know, I feel pretty good. So yeah, we're going to keep kind of going down the path and see what happens, but yeah, so far so good. But check out this series, You Are What You Eat on Netflix. Very interesting.
All right.
Very interesting stuff.
So my response to that, by the way, is going to be this right here, that
God,
Arby's has now made meat-based vegetables, okay?
And we have the meat.
You can go and get the Marrot, M-A-R-R-O-T, right? You can see it right here,
God,
the Marrot. If you and their line is, if they can make meat from vegetables and other stuff, we can make veggies from meat. Oh, so anyway, I just had to respond with that.
It's all good, man.
I thought you would appreciate that. So
don't knock it till you try it. I'm not going to get a merit.
No. Look, I don't know. I will say that, like I said, I do like a good salad. Yeah. I like to have some protein on the salad. That can be eggs, like a good Cobb salad. But like, look, we got together with some friends, some former coworkers last Friday up at Alamo Cafe, and I had the chicken fajita enchilada, right, which is a big old pile of iceberg lettuce with some chicken fajitas on top, and I just dump a buttload of salsa on it, and I'm like, man, that to me is delicious, right? Yeah. And by the way, a lot of times when I eat that salad, I actually take all the meat and put it elsewhere, and then I eat the salad, and then I eat the meat afterwards, kind of thing.
A salad with a merit on top. How about that?
There we go. A salad with a merit on top. I could do that. I could do that.
So, David, what have you been up to?
Well, you know, I had an interesting experience this last week. And I will say it the way that when my wife was wondering what had happened, we had some company over and I was dropping some stuff off at my father-in-law's. And when I got there, it was unfortunately, you know, I got there and I was taking longer to get home, and I had to text her and let her know why I was taking longer to get home. And I said, I'm going to be a little bit delayed. I hit a kid. And of course, I immediately got a phone. What in the world? And I said, well, in fairness, the kid hit me.
Right.
But yeah, I was turning, making a left-hand turn into my father-in-law's driveway. And young man who was on an electric bicycle.
That's crazy.
Didn't realize I was turning, didn't think about it, and tried to pass me on the left-hand side. And so he goes like this, and I turning in front of him, and he just hit me right at the front wheel, and then went over. And I'll tell you, the first thing I get out of it is this, you know, boom. And I see him and his bike going whoosh over the roof of my car. And I'm just like, and look, he is fine. He was a little banged up, but not injured. His bike was not horribly damaged. I think overall my car, I have a 2015 Flex, is probably the worst out of the whole thing, because I've got a dented front quarter panel. But his bike came through it just fine. He came through it just fine. You know, nothing that a few Advil aren't going to solve for him and stuff like that. But it was a little bit scary.
Well, hopefully he learned the lesson of, you know, passing on the left when you're approaching an intersection. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as I said to him, this is a great learning opportunity, right? Because there's a little bit of pain involved. It's going to stick in your mind, and you're never going to do that again, right? Because, and those are the best kind of learning opportunities, right? And you hope you learn that before somebody gets injured or something really bad happens.
Yeah. Just trying to understand the electric bicycle. I mean, I just don't, you know, would you still call it a bicycle?
Hey, no. Well, actually I've got a friend of mine. As an example, they have electric bikes and they love them. His wife has got a bad back. And they love to go riding with the bicycles, but if something happens and her back is hurting her, she can't pedal. And so what they might go on like a 10-mile bike ride, and they could be you know, 5 miles into it, and then suddenly her back locks up. And now with this, she can just flip it to electric and still get back okay. So there are some really positive reasons for them. So, okay, well, enough about us. So I told you we'd have a special topic today. And so this is episode 47. And we want to tell you that the Cloud Whisperers don't trust you. And frankly, you shouldn't trust us either, right? There's no trust here at all. What we are going to actually talk about, and what this is all about, is we're going to talk about the concept of zero trust, especially now, because it's, you know, that's really when you're in the cloud, you need to be in a zero trust environment. And so Brian, what does it mean to be in a zero trust environment?
Yeah, I mean, so think of it as a modern security framework, right? So it's a modern security framework. And then I always use kind of the analogy of multiple security layers, right? We got really six security layers that are there, but think about putting security wrappers around an identity. So we require MFA for that identity, right? Think about putting a security wrapper around a device, right? We got a managed device, compliant device, and all those sort of things, right? Think about a managed application, you know, application layer protection. And then we can also think about kind of the crown jewel there, right? The data itself, that's ultimately what we're protecting in the core of it. We have wrappers for that as well, right? We've got, you know, things that we can do with Azure Information Protection and those sort of things, right? So that's the way I kind of like to frame it for everyone, mm-hmm. just to kind of mm-hmm. think of it that way. It's better really to define it, you know, with how it's different from what we've done in the past. And I think the way that I like to start the conversation is, okay, you know, 10 years ago, we were using a perimeter-based network security, right? So,
yep.
So castle with a moat, you know, drawbridge and all that kind of stuff.
I did a SharePoint Saturday presentation on you know, the security castle concept.
Yep. And then all the data is inside the castle, right? So to get to that data, we've got a VPN into that castle, right? So, I mean, that's kind of more or less the analogy. I mean, imagine, you know, VPN going into the castle. But anyways, you take that approach, right? And fast forward to where we are today, and I've got a laptop and I've got a phone, I've got whatever kind of device, and it's always connected to the internet, right?
Yeah.
And how do I solve for that mobile device, right? How do I solve for that mobile device? So when we start introducing the concept of these security layers, then we start to think about how can we put wrappers around each of these components, with data being the core, right? That's the crown jewel, insert the Pink Panther music, right? So data is your crown jewel, right? And then beyond that, we have the application that's accessing the data. Beyond that, we've got a device that's trusted, right? And beyond that, we've mm-hmm. got the identity, where we're saying, hey, you know what? You gave me a password. Now I'm going to need you to provide that second layer of authentication too. So now we've got all these layers that are protecting ultimately the data in the center. So it's kind of makes a layered sense. Approach, modern security framework.
Well, and doesn't it also, if we think of, let's go back to our fortress or our castle metaphor for a second, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the old days, I would VPN or allow VPN, I'd allow people into my castle, right? So they could get to the data, because the data was stored in the castle, right?
Right.
And I'd let them in through the gate, and I'd have all kinds of security and things like that to make sure. But once once they got inside, they could do what they needed to inside the castle. But if we take that data, right, which used to be on file shares or on-premise SharePoint or SQL servers, and I move it up into the cloud, right?
Yep.
So in a perimeter or an edge networking approach, right, I still am going to VPN into the castle, and then from the castle I'm going to go to the cloud and get the data? That doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Okay, so say that again.
I'm thinking. I'm thinking in terms of this of if I have the old mentality of a perimeter network, right?
Yep, got it.
Then in a new, if I've taken my data and moved it up into the cloud, okay.
Yep.
What should happen is I should go from my laptop directly to the cloud, to the data.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. No, but I got you now.
But,
yep.
But I've had a lot of clients who said, no. I'm going to make people come into, use their VPN to get into my network, and then I'm going to have them go from my network out to the cloud, and I'm going to lock down access to only people who are going that route. Wouldn't that be an alternative to doing zero trust?
Yeah, sure. But I guess the challenge that you have there is when you start thinking about devices that, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to put VPN on. So think of a personal mobile device. Right.
We're just not going to let them use that stuff. I mean, why would we let the end users, you know, be able to use whatever device they want to? That's just crazy talk, man.
Well, think about it. I mean, that's today. That's where we're at, right? And we're in the world of productivity. We're in the world of self-service and all those things, right? Those are real things now in the cloud. And you know, it always, this conversation always heads that direction. Whenever I have somebody that's like, well, you know, we just have everybody come, you know, VPN in, and then, you know, they go out through our, you know, connection and this and that. Okay, what if they have a mobile device? Where we're going to put VPN on the mobile device, you know? It's like, okay, so how are you going to push that profile? How are you going to manage that? How are you going to push that profile down to that personal device? You're going to make the user set that up?
Isn't that what Intune's for? I mean, aren't I going to use that, you know, and manage that device that way?
Yeah, but I mean, so again, that's usually where the conversation goes. And it's like, hey, you know, let's think about this here for a second. You know, I mean, let's truly think about it. And if I can show you how we can put wrappers around all of this stuff, if I can show you that a file has a wrapper around it, it doesn't matter where that file goes, right? I've got the Azure Information Protection, you know, I've got a wrapper on that. So when somebody opens that document, it calls home, phones home, the mothership and says, hey, you know what, can you open me? So you just have to educate, you know, these people that are living in 10 years ago, right? I mean, that's really what it is. That perimeter-based mentality, it's very interesting. You see it a lot in banks. Banks are still doing that same thing.
I see it in financial services. I see it in healthcare. The other implementation of that I see, by the way, is virtual machines, right? Where I'll let you access things, but what's going to happen is you're gonna open up an RDP session of some type, maybe browser-based or application-based, right? That's going to come to some virtual machine that's running inside my environment, or maybe with Windows 365 up in the cloud, right? And then that is going to be how you work on everything, right? And I see a lot of organizations say, well, that solves all my compliance needs. It does, but I'm not certain that's the greatest end user experience, right? For that kind of stuff.
Well, so, and the other thing too is like you think about, you know, just what you get with Microsoft 365. And it's funny because you think about small businesses and everything, and a lot of these small businesses think that this isn't within their reach. But we have this license, business premium, right? We got business premium that has all of these layers, the same layers that we get in the cloud. Now we can't get to risks-based automated, you know, protection and those sort of things. True. Right. But now with an E5 license, but you know, you get pretty good protection. So I mean, it's a different way to think about things. I always use I like the word wrapper whenever I talk about this, and that always seems to resonate well with customers and whatnot. And just understand that, you know, the data is at the center of this, right? And we have layers, just imagine, you know, little layers. It's like planets, you know, wrapping around the, you know, around the sun, right? I mean, that's our, you know, that's our crown jewel. That's the data.
Now that makes a lot of sense. So we understand what it is, right? It's a different way of thinking about it. The way I've heard it described to me is, you know, every time a connection is made to a resource, we always assume that it might be a hack at that point in time. And so every single request and that's where the zero trust concept comes from, right?
Yeah. All right. And so zero trust principles, right? There's three of them. There's verify explicitly. There's use least privilege access and assume breach. Yeah. So those are the three principles.
So verify explicitly means that every time we are making sure this person is who they say they are, with preferably some kind of multi-factor authentication. Maybe it's a certificate. If at the very least, it's a SAML token, right? Where somebody has gone through this, done a thing. Okay. What was the second one again?
Yubikey. The second one is use least privileged access.
Okay. And so by the way, that just makes sense too, right? It's this whole thing of, you know, oh, let's make everybody a global administrator in our tenant, because that'll just make it easy, right? And by the way, I mean, I'm seeing that now as people are starting to get ready for Copilot, or rolling out some of the search features that SharePoint has, right? That they've overshared content. A great deal. And I mean, I've had clients in the past call me up and say, we've got to turn off search. It's broken because I'm seeing things I shouldn't see. And we're like, well, let's take a look at it. And we go, well, you're seeing this particular thing because somebody put it in a public place, or they shared it with the company, right? Or they shared it just with you, but it's from their OneDrive and you're thinking you shouldn't see it, but they put your name in there. And of course that leads to audit questions and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So guy got the least privilege. What was the third one again now?
We're going to assume breach. Okay. We're assuming, okay. Assuming somebody's breach.
Okay. Yep. Right. And so that's just meaning that I'm not going to take a token that's like a week old, right? Or if I'm going to do things like, you know, the way I've always seen it described to me is, look, if you're trying to log in from the company laptop that is connected to the company domain and has company certificates installed on it from the company network, I can treat that differently than when I get a request from a Linux box from Malaysia.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, yep. I should treat those differently, right?
Yep, for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So how hard is this to implement then? Is this something that, and I know you're mentioning, you know, small businesses with business premium stuff like that, but I mean, do you have to have somebody like a you or a me who gets this stuff to come out and set it up for you and maintain it? Or is this something that people can, you know, that somebody who has a little bit of knowledge and can follow some guidance, you know, if it's a small business, and if it's a larger business, right, that's got e-licenses, I mean, how do they have to go out and hire consultants? Do they have to hire new people? Or is this something that their normal IT staff can take care of?
Yeah, I mean, normal IT staff, definitely. So I think you think about it as the first layer. That's usually where, you know, you get, you know, that's where you start, right? And that's enable right. MFA, right? Making okay. sure that anybody that has an admin role is prompted for MFA anytime they're hitting any kind of administrative interface. So that way, if somebody, you know, a bad actor or whatever takes an account and you know, elevates that account, you're challenging them with MFA based on that role, right? So mm-hmm. that's always a very good starting point, is just, you know, the identity side of it. When you get beyond that, well, and the other thing to think about too is, like, by default now there's security defaults. So you have a lot of that already pre-configured. You know, if you want to get into conditional access and those sort of these things to use the other layers, then obviously you turn that off and, you know, you go down into endpoint management. And I think that's really where you get into, okay, let's bring somebody in that can kind of help us with this, because you think of Intune and device management and those sort of things. That's a big thing, right? So we really need somebody to come in and say, you know, let's take a deeper look at this or whatever, and really kind of analyze it from all. And, you know, for readiness and Copilot and those sort of things, these are things that we really need to think about. But from an entry level perspective, just somebody that, you know, an IT admin or whatever, just mm-hmm. turning on MFA, you know, turning on MFA or security defaults or whatever. I mean, that's usually the first step.
Okay. And then, is this something that you do solely with Microsoft tools, or is this something that it's a good idea to go out and buy a third party tool to do this?
Yeah. So there's definitely third parties, you know, Microsoft mm-hmm. does a fairly decent job, and they actually present this concept very well. And you think of like a business premium license or whatever, we can pretty much touch each one of those layers or protect each one of those layers, you know, with a business premium license. We just need to know how to turn those things on. So yeah, there's definitely third party tools out there. You know, there's third party XDRs and things like that, to where, you know, like the Sentinel One's out there and all that. So there's other solutions out there, but, you know, with the business premium license, we get a lot of layers there. And if we're in an E5 license, right, you know, Microsoft 365 E5 or EMS E5, then we can turn on a lot of these protection layers as well. So Microsoft has this pretty well covered from the entry point all the way down to the core, the crown jewel of the data.
Well, and they also include that endpoint stuff, right? I mean, Defender is part of Windows. I think what I would say is, while if you're talking small companies, that's one thing. When you get into bigger enterprises, if you're buying M365 licenses where you're buying Windows Enterprise, right, either E3 or E5, the integrations with the endpoint protections and Defender for endpoint and stuff like that, and how that'll talk to stuff up in Azure is actually pretty cool as well. I mean, stuff is, and that stuff is pretty cool. And even being able to do, like, I mean, endpoint DLP, which I thought that was amazing when I found out that you could do that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I can stop people. Well, that, you know, because normally what most people places do, they shut down USB ports, right? So that you can't copy anything to a USB port. Instead, you can let people have USB ports. But what you do is you put a DLP policy that says if somebody copies something there before they copy it, I can determine if that content should be leaving my organization, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool stuff.
Now that stuff's pretty advanced, right? That's not the easy stuff. Okay. Well, you had me, what was it, a number of years ago, you had me turn on the
security defaults. Features.
My wife is still mad at me about that. She's like, why do I have to have a multi-factor authenticator? I don't want to have the authenticator app on my watch. I'm still waiting, by the way, for Microsoft to release an authenticator app that'll run on my Pixel 4, right? Or on the Samsung watch. You know, I'm like, they run one on the Apple Watch. Why can't they deliver one for one of these Android based watch OSs? Dang it. That'd make things easier.
It's number matching now too, right? So they want you to be a little bit more secure. So you actually have to type something in, right? So that would be, I always loved doing that demo. In front of people, I'd be like, hey, check this out. You know, I get the authenticator prompt right here on my, and I say yes. And then the bad guys figured that out. And they're like, hey, guess what? You know, we can MFA this guy over and over until he says, stop it already. I'm going to hit yes. And we call that MFA fatigue. And now we have, you know, number matching.
And that's why we have number matching. Right. I've actually seen, like, you know, like I hit my Microsoft account and it goes, pick the number. Right. And it shows me like three numbers. And then it shows me a number on the screen and I have to pick the right one.
Yeah.
And then
personal account.
I like that implementation more than having to type the number in, kind of thing. But they both work, right? And by the way, the picking of the number you could probably do on the watch as well. Yeah, you could type the number in on the watch too. I mean, I type numbers on my watch all the time, you know.
Yeah, I guess they could expand, you know, the app on the watch.
Yeah.
Be interested to see where that's going.
Yeah.
I think it would be hard to type that. Well, maybe it wouldn't be that hard to type it in.
You'd probably figure something out. All right. Well, Brian, I appreciate you bringing this concept of zero trust up because I think it's a great topic. You know, I talk to clients about it. I think you articulate it very well. And I think the main takeaway I'm taking from this is even small organizations, right? Like my family, we've got four licenses, right? Even we're doing zero trust, and all I had to do was basically flip one switch inside my tenant.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was it. And we're more. Yeah. I mean, could I go even further? Yes, I could. Yeah. Right. But for the most part, I mean, I think we're fine at that level. Well, you know, Brian, that does bring us to that time of our show. That is one last thing. And you know, it being today, we're recording this on the 13th of February, Valentine's Eve. We have decided to talk about love.
Wait, is Valentine's love. Valentine's is tomorrow?
Yeah, Valentine. If you haven't gotten something, you need to go right now. Right, the HGB is going to be crazy. I was at the HEB this morning. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get those chocolate covered strawberries and I'm going to stick them in the fridge and I'm covered. So we were going to talk about true love. Okay.
True love.
And that does not mean Valentine's Day. That meant Taylor Swift's boyfriend in the Super Bowl, right? Because that was the love story on everybody's mind. Now I will admit that I did not watch a lot of the Super Bowl this year. What I did watch, I wasn't horribly impressed with. I thought the commercials were kind of, there were a couple that were, but there were none that were amazing. Right. Yeah. Oh, the halftime. Look, I felt like my dad watching the halftime show going, this isn't even music. What the heck is this? You know, I didn't know a single song that this guy who's like one of the biggest megastars of the 90s. And I'm like, I went to high school in the 80s. 90s music is terrible. You know, I didn't start listening to music again until the 2000s.
He's a tremendous dancer, though. I mean,
don't get me wrong. As I said to my wife and my daughter, when we came out of the Barbie movie, my daughter said, wasn't that movie just the best, Dad? And I said, I was not the target audience. Okay. I was not the target audience for that particular halftime show. So, but from a game standpoint, you know, first Super Bowl ever to have a 55-yard field goal. And then to have a 57-yard field goal or 56 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then the first to go to overtime. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, San Francisco goes down, kicks a field goal. Right. Which in the old days, that would have been it. Right. Game would have been over. But now we've got the two possession rule for overtime. Yeah. And man, that was a heck of an ending to a pretty exciting game.
No, it really was. Considered. Well, and the first half was just so slow, and then it just kind of picked up in the second half. And yeah, and I think the 49ers said they were confused by the overtime rules, which surprised me. But
I mean, how can you be confused? Okay, I can get like Leon Lett not knowing that you don't touch the ball on a field goal after it's been blocked, because that makes it a live ball, right? But this is these overtime rules have been in place for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. No. And they're not going to end the game because at the end of that first period, I mean, Tony Romo was trying to explain it too. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. I mean, it makes sense to me, but you know, I'll tell you, other than that, when Kelsey caught that ball and got down to like the 4-yard line, I just thought that he was going to carry the entire San Francisco team on his back into the end zone, screaming, "Taylor, I'm coming for you," or something like that. It was, you know, and of course, Travis did have the big controversy in which he, well, depending on how you look at it, he shoved Andy Reid to the ground, or he bumped into Andy Reid and knocked him over. And it has led to, by the way, some incredibly good memes of him screaming at Andy Reid. And there was one of them I saw that was great, which says, "We are never, ever, ever getting back together." but that was in the first half. And Kelsey had one catch for 1 yard in the first half.
Yeah, it was a very slow half. Yep.
And did you see his final stat line? He had 93 yards on 9 catches, which meant he did 92 yards in the second half of that game. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Three Super Bowls wins in the last 5 years, right? Is that, I forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's unbelievable.
It's four appearances and three wins, in the last 5 years. Right. And, look, my wife and I, we commiserate about the Cowboys all the time, but everything that's wrong with the Cowboys can be traced back to Jerry Jones, who turned the franchise around. Okay. And while we hated the way he fired Tom Landry, okay, everybody hated that. Okay. We get that. But at the same time, he did bring in Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson quickly turned that team around into, you know, winning back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yep.
At which point, Jerry's ego couldn't let Jimmy take the credit for this. So he and Jimmy part ways, and he bring in Barry Switzer, who will win a Super Bowl. He will win a Super Bowl with primarily Jimmy's team.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just don't think that Jimmy would have taken his team into San Francisco and turned the ball over 3 times in the first quarter, gone down 21. And because that team, they went down 21-0, and they still almost beat the 49ers in that NFC Championship game. I mean, it was that was insane. They could have won 4 Super Bowls in a row, except for Jerry. Right. And, I just, my wife says, you know, to be a Cowboys fan, especially right now, is to be the definition of insanity, because we accept the same thing every year, yeah, and we expect different results.
This is the year. This is the year. Yeah.
You know, Jerry Jones could sell snow to an Eskimo, but you know, but I'll tell you, I did hear a story, by the way, that during, I guess it was a couple of years ago, it was a few years back in the draft. During the draft, this is what I heard. Now, this is reported by a former Cowboys staff member, okay, said that, and he didn't mention the name specifically, okay, but people have later figured out who they're pretty sure it was, that Detroit called up the Cowboys on draft day and wanted to trade for the Cowboys' first round draft pick and some other picks and send Matt Stafford to the Cowboys.
Oh, wow. Right?
Yeah. For a first round draft pick on draft day and some other stuff and things like that.
Interesting. And, I didn't know
and,
that.
And according to the report I heard, Stephen Jones, the GM, right, goes, yeah, who's that? And then says, oh, well, let me talk to my people and I'll get back to you. And then hangs up the phone and doesn't even talk to anyone.
Wow.
And they call back a little while later. They says, no, we're not interested. And you're like, I get it. I get it that they had Tony Romo. This has been back in the Tony Romo times, right?
Or
very beginning of Dak Prescott's, you know, somewhere in that time frame, right? So either Tony Romo or early Dak Prescott. But man, Matt Stafford, that guy is a super talent.
Yeah. Okay. Man, the way he can throw that ball is just unbelievable.
But yeah. And yeah. So we're sad
Cowboys fans. Yeah, that's what we are.
We are sad Cowboys fans. And unfortunately, I think we're going to be sad Cowboys fans for a while yet, until Jerry finally either shuffles off this mortal coil, and I don't wish that on him, by the way, I really don't. Or until he finally says, we gotta have somebody who really knows football.
Yeah.
And who's going to come in here and be our GM, and do
there
something.
He is.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think I don't think it's Stephen Jones. Well, Brian, I would say that we have now come to the end of episode 47, and now everybody understands why the Cloud Whisperers don't trust you, and you shouldn't trust us either. And I put the scroller on there that you should follow us on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. You can go to SoundCloud and get us out there. You know, find these audio-only podcasts and the video podcast, of course, on YouTube. Please subscribe, please, you know, like, do all those wonderful things that we want you to do so that we kind of know, you know, what's going on. We would love to find out, you know, to interact with the customers. You know, we are up to 14 subscribers on YouTube now.
Oh, and wow. Damn.
I know, we're in the double digits.
Like number matching, you know, like
2 days. Exactly, right? I mean, you know, maybe we'll get to 15 by the time this thing goes out. But hey, as always, it's a pleasure chatting with you, Brian.
Yeah, and, for sure. Me too.
You know, we love chatting and everything like that. And I will send us out with the famous Cloud Whisperers music.
We got to continue doing this.